Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Baba Batra, Daf Kuf Yod Amud Aleph, near the bottom of the Amud, starting to examine some of the specifics of the Mishnah that we studied. And we're now going to look at the second part of the first grouping in the Mishnah of those who that have bidirectional Yerusha. And that is Abanim Ta'av, the sons inherit from their fathers. Menalan, how do we know that? Dichtiv, Ish Kemut Uvein Lo. If he has no son, then it goes to the daughters. Tam adein lo ben. So it's only because he has no son it goes to the daughters. Yesh lo ben, ben kodem. If not, then son comes before daughter, and son comes first. Amar Papa Labaye. So Papa suggests the following. Ema iika ben lirot ben. Maybe it means this. If there's a son, the son gets. Ika bat terut bat. If there's a daughter, the daughter gets. Ika ben ubat lo hai lirot v'lo hai lirot. But if there's a son and a daughter, then neither one of them inherit. Now that's, of course, ridiculous. We're going to fix that in a minute. Ve'ela man lirot. So then Abaye turns to Papa and says, then who is it you're suggesting should inherit if there is a son and a daughter? Atu bar kashab demata leiro. Do you want the constable of the town to inherit? Like, who do you want to have inherit? So the answer is hachi kamina. This is what I meant. Her papa says ika benubat lohai leirut kulei velohai leirut kulei. Maybe neither inherits fully. In other words, he's suggesting that maybe sons and daughters inherit together. Elikadadi leirutu. So in other words, that the text is telling me if there is no son, then the daughter inherits alone. But if there is a son, they share. So I'm Abaye. So Abaye says, "V'itzarich kralish minhechad leitle alachad barav yitinu lekule nirsei." So Abaye says, "So what do you need the pasuk for? Is the pasuk there to tell me that if there's only a son, he gets everything? That's a no-brainer." So Papa says, "V'dilma hakamashlon debat nami bat Yerushahi." Maybe it's there to tell you that a girl is also an heir, meaning that she plays a role in the heir in the inheritance. The answer is no. Hahu mivachol bat Yerushah nachal anafka. It's important to note where this pasuk is coming from. Subsequent to the initiative of Benot Slavchad, and the successful inclusion of daughters in inheritance, the other members of their tribe came forward to complain. This is the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and say, what will happen if Benot Slavchad marries somebody from another tribe? The land will go to that other tribe. So from the Pasuk, B'chol Bat Yereshet Nachalah, the rule then became, any daughter that inherits has to marry within the tribe. You see that girls inherit. So we don't need our Pasuk to tell us that girls inherit. Okay, Ravacha B'Yako, so now we have a source. How do we know that sons inherit? From the opening Pasuk. Ravacha B'Yako Marmihacha, he says, I've got a better, source. Lami Garashem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachto Kein Lo Ben. That Benot Slavchad said, why should our father's name be wiped out and then disappear just because he has no son? What's the implication? Tam Adein Lo Ben, Hayesh Lo Ben, Ben Kodem. So obviously, if he has a son, the son will come first. Maybe it's just Benot Slavchad talking that way. In other words, maybe the Torah was given, and now we have a new halacha, which is that girls and boys inherit together. So we don't like this proof. We go back to the original one. Ravina Mar Mihacha, he had a third suggestion. Hakarov Elav, the pasuk, we dealt with this a couple of podcasts ago, is that akarv karv kodem. Proximity is everything when it comes to inheritance. Whoever's closer is a higher class or more of a priority class when it comes to inheritance. Umay korv de ben mibat, so we know that the son is closer to the father than the daughter is, and therefore the son would come first. Why? What we said earlier in the parak is that the son is closer than the brother because he stands instead of the father for yud and steachuza. So does that also prove the son is closer than the daughter? Yada, after all, bat lav yabat yada he. A girl can't do yud because yud involves marrying a girl, so she's not in the parsha anyways. So the fact that she doesn't do yud proves nothing. Steachuza na high pircha gufahu da high kaima leilatana klumi shivim elamokum shein ben. After all, as we said before, steachuz itself is not something that we know the son takes. It's something we figured out from the fact that that the yibum that gives strength to the brother is only there if there's no son. And by the way, it's only there if there's no daughter also. So really, we have no proof that the daughter is any less close to the father than the son is. So karav won't prove it. So we go back and say our original answer is the one we got to stick with. These other answers don't work. This one may work. That when it talks about an Eved Kanani, the Torah says you shall bequeath it to your sons after you as an inheritance. To your sons, v'lo benotechem. So so at the end of the second part of Shema, when we say, do these mitzvot so your days and the days of your sons will be long, so do you want to interpret sons here as b'nechem as being specifically male children and not all children? The answer is no, bracha shani. When it comes to a bracha, so we'll interpret it generously and say b'nechem means your children. But when it comes to the legal context of itnachaltem otam l'v'nechem, that's narrowly interpreted. It means only your sons, and therefore we see another proof that sons inherit as the first group. Okay, the third group in the first segment is achim min ha'av nachlinu manchilin, that paternal brothers inherit from each other. Menalan, how do we know that? Amaraba atya achva achva bnei Yaakov. The pasuk that I added in there, which the Rashbam quotes, is that when the brothers come down to see Yosef, they say shtei masar achim anachdu. We are 12 brothers. Now they're not brothers maternally, because some are from Bilah, some from Zilpah, some from Leah, of course none from Rachel, when they first come down. But malalan min ha'av v'lo min ha'im, they are brothers indeed, only by virtue of having the same father. So afkan, where it says in apasukim, and therefore the echav means now paternal. Afkan min ha'av v'lo min ha'im. V'lamali, what do I need that for? Mishpachtov yirasho taktiv. The key phrase in our entire parsha is family. And what did Rava already teach us? Mishpachatav kriya mishpacha mishpachatem mekena kriya mishpacha. Before we went into the whole piece of a pesel micha and then successfully defended against that, we saw that mishpacha only refers to paternal family. And so therefore, we don't need the limud from Bnei Yaakov. The answer is Enachinami, you're right. Rabba's statement was taught not for the purpose of Nachala, but for different purposes, Yibum, to teach that only paternal brothers have a relationship to each other for Yibum, that with the death of one, the other has to step in. Okay, now we go to the second group. The second group is those who inherit but don't bequeath. And that's Ha'ishat Imo. A man inherits from his mother. Now, Manaha Nimili, how do we know that a man inherits from his mother? The Tanu Rabbanan, we have the Brayta that says the following. V'chol bat yoreshet nachala mimatot b'nei Yisrael. Interesting take. It says a daughter who inherits from the tribes in the plural. Heach bat yoreshet shnei matot. How could a daughter inherit from two tribes? So we already know a daughter inherits from her father, but from Imein lo ben. If she has a father from one shevet and a mother from another shevet, umetu, and they both died, v'yirashtan, and she inherited from them. So you see that a child could inherit from two different tribes because you inherit from your mother also. But Ve'enli Elabat, so far all I know is that a daughter inherits from her mother. Maybe it's gender specific. Ben Minayin, how do I know a son does? Amarta Kalvachomer. The answer is Kalvachomer. A girl who has a second position when it comes to Nichsei Ha'av, for the father's property. Nonetheless, the Torah explicitly here puts her in the driver's seat when it comes to her mother's property. Ben Shi Pakochob Nichsei Ha'av, the son who has a first stage Yerusha when it comes to the father's property. Eno Din Shi Pakochob Nichsei Ha'im. So certainly he will have a prime seat when it comes to inheriting from the mother. Umi Makom Shabbata. And now go back to your original source and realign the status that way. Meaning, Malon ben Korom Labat, Afkan ben Korom Labat. According to Tanakama, therefore, if there's a son and a daughter, only the son inherits his mother's and his father's. Meaning, that the daughter only inherits the mother, just like she only inherits the father, if there's no sons. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Amru, Mishum, Rabbi Zachari ben HaKatzav. Rabbi Zachari ben HaKatzav said the following halacha, Echara ben v'chara bat shavim nechsei ha'em. That when it comes to the mother's property, sons and daughters inherit together. My time, so our explanation is why. Dayola Raminadin, the Yod Kenidon. Because the general rule of a Kal V'Chomer, and this is the whole sugya in the second parak of Bava Kama, the whole general rule of the Kal V'Chomer is that the Chomer can be no stronger than the Kal, it can only be as strong as the Kal. And therefore, since in the case of the girl, she inherits, therefore the son cannot be stronger than her and knock her out. He can only share the inheritance with her. Now, the question is, Tanakama, lo darish dayo? Doesn't the Tanakama accept the principle of dayo limiting the kal v'chomer to only being as strong as the kal? V'had dayo d'oraitahu. We know that it's d'oraita. D'tanya midin kal v'chomer ketzad. This is the braita of Rabbi Shmuel. How do we know that kal v'chomer works? Ketzad, Vayomar Adonai Moshe, Vavia, Yoroka, Akfanel, Lotikalim Shivat Yamim. In the case of Miriam, when Miriam was afflicted, the Torah says, Hashem says to Moshe, that if her father had disgraced her, she'd have to be out there for 7 days. So the result of that is, Kavachomer L'Shechin Arbasar. So if she is disgraced by God, she should be out there 14 days. But the Chomer can be no greater than the Kal. And therefore, just like she would be out for her father for 7 days, Kavachomer, she's out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu no less than 7 days. But she's only out 7 days, and indeed Miriam was only out of the camp for 7 days. All right. So therefore, everybody agrees with Dayo. So how could Tana Kama say that the son who was only launched into inheriting his mother's property via Kal Vachomer is going to inherit where the mother doesn't inherit, with in place of the daughter, and the daughter doesn't inherit if there's a son? How could you have such a thing? The answer is Bi'alma Darish Dayo. Generally, the Tana Kama accepts Dayo. Here you have matot. It compares the mother's tribe to the father's tribe. So therefore, just like in the case of the father's property, the son comes first, so in the case of the mother's property. Now we have several stories. Rav Nitai, was suggesting apportioning an inheritance based on Zachariah ben Katzav's ruling. Amar le Shmuel, come on, Zachariah, you're ruling like Zachariah. A face Zachariah, Zachariah is batel. He actually ruled that way and gave an inheritance that way. Rav Nachman, Shmuel's student, said, "My high." So he quoted somebody in the name of Rav saying that Allah is like Zachariah ben Katzav. We'll see that it's not so in a minute. He said, "You better go back on it. I'll pull him out of your ear, as it were." Another Amor who wanted to give the girl an equal portion in her mother's property with her brother. Rav Nachman, my high, again, Rav Nachman came to the defense. Now he quoted Rav Huna, saying, should I go send a message to Rav Huna? So he was embarrassed because he was afraid maybe Rav Huna changed his mind. Now that Rav Huna is dead, you're quoting him and saying things in his name. So who did Rav Nachman hold like that he was so opposed to this? He held like this position that said that Rav and Shmuel both agreed that Halacha is not like Zachariah ben Katzav, and the son always inherits both mother's and father's estate exclusively. Now here's a story. Mistamich v'azor Rabbi Yanai akatfei de Rabbi Simloi. So Rabbi Yanai was leaning on the shoulders of Rabbi Simloi, Shamei, his servant. V'ati Rabbi Yehuda Nasias. Rabbi Yehuda Nasias, the grandson of Yehuda Nasi, came lapayu to greet them. Amarle, so Rabbi Yanai said to his servant, Bar inish ta'ata lekivana, the man that I'm seeing coming towards us, hu yoi v'gulta yoi. He's attractive and his clothes look attractive. He looks like an important guy. Kimata legabe, when he came there, gishasha. So Rabbi Yanai felt him. Amarle dein shiure kasak. This beged would probably have a shear like a sock. In other words, he was saying the begadim are not that nice. Ba'mine, that's as far as the chostuma goes, but it was a comment about his clothes. Ba'mine minayin leben kushakorim lebat nichse ha'em. So the Rabbi, the Yehuda Nasiya asked the older man, how do we know this halacha that the son comes before the daughter exclusively in the case of the mother's estate? Amar l'richtim matot, because matot, makish matei ha'em, matei ha'av. So, ma matei ha'av ben korol mabat av matei'em ben korol mabat. Very good. So, amar le ima matei ha'av b'chor notel pishnayim, af matei ha'em but notel b'chor notel pishnayim. So, now, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya took it further, and he said, well, if you're going to equate father's estate to mother's estate, then that means the b'chor should get a double portion in mother's estate also, which we know it doesn't happen, although we don't yet know why. Amarle the Shame, so he told his servant, good, let's get out of here. Late Dain Savi the Melef. This guy doesn't want to hear anything, he just wants to make points. So now we're asking the time am I, so what is the real reason that the son does not get a little portion of his mother's property? Marbaya Markra Bachola Shay Matse Lo. Because if you take a look at the last pasuk on the page, that he will get a double portion in everything that's found for him. Lo Velola. Meaning only that which is his father's and not mother's. Maybe that only applies to a your man who's never been married, who marries a woman who already was married, already had other kids, and so this is not her first kid. But if this is a first kid for both of them, maybe the kid gets a double portion in either one of the parents' estates. So we have a different pasuk. Why does this kid get double? Because he's the first of the strength of the father, meaning the first kid. Meaning her role, her connection here is not relevant. So wait, we need reshit ono for a different limud, which is that only the bechor, a bechor even who comes after a miscarriage, is still a bechor lanachala. Why? What's reshit ono? The first one I'm concerned about. So that means if the woman miscarried, I feel bad about it, but in the meantime, that's not a child that I'm worried about. The first child that I really am concerned about in raising him, that's the one who's bechor lanachala. So I need reshit ono for that. So if that's the case, it should say, because he's the beginning of strength. My own no. Why own no? Shramanatarti. So you can infer both. But then I could explain that as referring to a case of a man who already had other kids, and this is his first kid with this woman. But if it's for both of them, a first kid, so I would think maybe the child takes double portion even in mother's property. This is the killer. Amakra lo mishpata b'chora. The din of b'chora goes to him. Mishpata b'chora l'ish, v'lo mishpata b'chora l'isha. It only applies to men and not to women, meaning not only to sons and not to daughters, but also to father's estate and not to mother's estate. Okay, we will pause at this point and pick it up in the next podcast, continuing to examine the second group in our Mishnah of nochalin v'lo manchilin. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.